Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. Attention. Do I have everybody's attention now?
Burn it down!
This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Super Kick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my house.
Welcome everyone to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. It's a nice little Sunday afternoon. Myself, Scotty Villa, UK Tom, Monday Night Mike. We're all here reacting to what we all witnessed last night. Fellas, the Elimination Chamber live from the Sky Dome in Toronto. And it changed the wrestling world. Fellas.
Hey, Scotty Villa. What's up? UK Tom. Go fuck yourself.
I was going to say that.
You're too late, bitch.
Motherfucker. First of all, let's get that out of the way. As Cody Rhodes does not sell his soul, he says, hey, Rock, go fuck yourself. And people are giving praise to Netflix for not censoring it. This is a WWE call. They're not letting Cody say that unless, like, everybody knows. Hey, pay-per-view. Hey, Netflix. Hey, Peacock. This is going to be said. It's fine. We got it.
You know what? You made the best point ever. They're like, good job, Netflix, for allowing WWE to say fuck on a network that's filled with fucks all the time. Jesus Christ.
Netflix don't give a fuck.
Yeah. They're like, make great content.
That's it. New slogan.
Service. Yeah.
I mean, go ahead, Scotty.
I'm just going to lay the land and I'm throwing it to you guys. So John Cena wins the Elimination Chamber last night. It's down to him and Punk in the end. Cena wins. Cody comes out. Congratulates Cena. Obviously, The Rock's coming out. This is the main event of the show, is The Rock-Cody segment. Cody says, I want your soul. Sell it to me. Cody says, go fuck yourself, Rock. Cena goes in for the hug. And then you see that the facial expression change. Tom shaking his head. He still can't believe it. They pull apart from the hug. Big smiles back on Cena. Dick kick. Immediate dick kick by John Cena to Cody Rhodes. And the heel turn has happened. John Cena, in his alleged final year as a pro wrestler, has turned heel. And the beatdown ensues. Tom, I want to go to you first. Thoughts as you're watching the John Cena heel turn happen.
That was awesome. I literally never thought that would happen ever. And I mean, I popped what I thought was the biggest pop of the night for the go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then when Cena kicked him squarely in the dinky, it was, I literally jumped off the couch. I was like, no, I could not believe they were doing it. And fuck, what a turn. Cena was fantastic.
John Cena was fantastic.
Gotta give a little credit to Cody. He sold that like a motherfucker. The whole thing was great. Why was Travis Scott there? Who is Travis Scott? It was more my question.
Yeah, I'm the only one with it in this fucking pod. Pretty big deal, that Travis Scott. Pretty popular recording artist.
Once again, I admit that's a me problem, not a them problem. But that was a little bit weird, but not a negative, just a little bit weird, because, you know, we wouldn't want to be negative on the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, no, we're not that negative. I don't think we're that negative. Oh, wait, I'm negative all the fucking time. We're talking about heel John Cena. Get ready for nothing but negativity.
Everybody, including Travis Scott, regardless of whether I know who he is or not, they were very good here. Michael Cole also needs credit.
Oh,
he was fantastic.
Michael Cole, I think, really turned it up during Sammy and Kevin Owens, which we'll get to.
Side note, whilst we're just talking about commentary, Pat McAfee, go fuck yourself.
I agree. You know what? I was just on the phone with Scott. I forgot to mention it. Yeah, I am way past that. Ship has sailed. I don't think Pat McAfee is great on commentary. I
really liked him until last night, but now Pat, go sit on a cactus. Like, fuck off.
It's not even the Canada stuff. Like, I don't care about that. Like, I just don't think he is adding to the show other than having one of the most popular, like, podcasts and programs on the internet. I mean, get why you have him there, but I've been feeling that way for a while about
last night. I don't think he did. I know he had travel issues and he legitimately got there about 5 minutes before the show started.
So welcome to your job.
But
it's fucking not my problem as the viewer. Yeah.
Like, dude, also the Canada stuff, get over it.
It's going to be brought up.
I love Pat McAfee on commentary. I have from day one. Last night was the first night where I was like, please shut up. I think the reins are a little bit too loose for Pat right now. And if he did show up late, he still knows how to be within those parameters. And I don't think they put him back in those parameters very well yesterday, especially in the beginnings of the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens match. He was fucking around too much. Didn't like it that much. I actually really didn't like that he kept bringing up the U.S. national anthem getting booed. We didn't see that on our TV. And this show isn't meant strictly for American audience. So you're talking worldwide. It's on Netflix worldwide. Leave that shit for your show. It's not meant for WWE. That's just my opinion. But
yeah.
But also, I imagine any national anthem that's not the Canadian probably wouldn't have been very well received. It's a show with 40,000 Canadians. Why are you singing anything other than "Oh Canada"?
Yeah, and move on from it, right? But in the bigger moment, like, to get away from Pat McAfee,
we're not a political podcast.
No, God, no, absolutely not. Don't look to us for politics at all. So there was an Emergency podcast done by basically Scotty V and UK Tom regarding the "I Want Your Soul" promo that, of course, famously hated here on the In My House Pro Wrestling podcast. Do you feel like there is some egg on your faces now when moments like this happen?
I stand by everything I said about that promo.
I love that.
About that promo.
Yeah. But in a time where I think the concern was, where the fuck do you go? Shit. Well, I was like I was telling Scotty, I don't believe this was a pivot. I believe firmly after the Rumble, they knew very well that John Cena was going to turn heel at the Elimination Chamber. And boy, did that moment deliver. You know what? In moments in wrestling, this is now one that will be remembered forever. Okay.
I have a question for my fellow In My House people. In John Cena turning heel, Hogan turning heel.
Oh, they're both incredible. But
what's bigger?
I still think Hogan.
Me too.
I do think it's still Hogan. I think once time goes on. But you know what? We think Hogan because of where we were when it happened.
He was our era.
The kids who grew up with Cena, this heel turn is fucking earth shattering.
See, I think Cena.
It's your era.
In the landscape of WWE. Yeah.
But the reason I think Cena, not just because he was my Hogan, it's because The Rock is there as a heel too, who was the ultimate babyface for so long, and to have those two there as heels, it's huge.
So something that adds to your argument on that, I think, which helps quite a bit, is he also did it in WWE. He didn't leave WWE to do it in a different company. He did it where he was born and bred and made. I think that adds a huge part to that argument.
I saw something on Twitter and I don't remember who said it. So whoever you are, you have credit. I just don't know who you are.
It was me.
And people were like, he said, people are comparing this to Hogan, but it's actually more like when Andre turned heel, a beloved legend at the end of their career, selling out to somebody like,
for the championship, absolutely.
For the championship, Andre went to the Million Dollar Man.
That's
John
so
Cena
good.
Cena went to The Rock.
That's I'm so like, good.
You got a point.
It is smart because I think it's good for the promos, right? John Cena can come out and he's like, I've been here forever. I get what I want. I align myself with the company to get what I want. It really is turning into, like, again, it sucks for wrestling because, like, the corporate storyline has been beat to death, in my opinion. But it really will fucking work here. With John Cena, it being the hottest heel going.
But has the corporate storyline ever worked, ever been done with somebody like Cena?
They tried with Austin when Austin turned heel.
That was not great.
Nobody ever really wanted to boo Austin, though. There's half the audience wants to boo John Cena, and I'm the first fucking guy to do it. So
no, but now you're torn because you're seeing heel John Cena, you the John Cena hater, and you're like, fuck yeah, Cena. Like,
no, I won't. I you're still kind won't. Of pumped. Did you see that STFU? He still doesn't know how to lock it in. Fucking tighten that shit up. Steve told you that 20 years ago. He's still a bad wrestler.
I thought Cena was good in the Elimination Chamber.
I thought that chamber was fantastic. That might be one of my favorite chamber matches.
I also really liked it. And I think outside of, like, we'll get to that chamber match, but obviously the big moment here was, it's weird that you're kind of running back a similar story, right? Like, here's the beatdown of Cody that is vicious and brutal. Like, we've kind of been there, but you're like, your caveat being like, holy shit, like, John Cena is a part of this beatdown and brutalization of Cody Rhodes. I was like sitting where I am, where we do the pod, like three screen setup. And like, I was playing games while watching the show. And I literally, like, from Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on, I was just glued to the fucking screen. And that moment, like Tob said, the go fuck yourself popped me. I was like, damn, good for them. Like, they a little bit of a harder edge. Like, this is good. Cody really standing up for himself. Like, that's going to get him over even more. But when the turn happened, it felt like Taker jaw drop when Taker lost that Mania.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, no way.
You think about that, though. Think about that sequence, that transaction that happened right there. Everyone is popping for the go fuck yourself by Cody Rhodes. Everyone's popping for it.
The highest of highs, right?
To make everybody think that that's what we're there for. This is why it's the main event, because they dropped the F-bomb. And Cody's going to stand up for himself and the American Nightmare people. So nobody saw John coming in that moment. Absolutely couldn't, because we were all texting each other. Holy fucking shit. Did he really just say that?
Yeah.
Everyone's on Twitter. Holy shit. Did you see that? So no one's expecting it. That's how perfect last night was, the way that show ended. Such great booking, great work. Triple H, I believe, said in the press conference, very few people knew about John Cena's turn, including the guys in the truck. Triple H told the truck, lay out, I'm directing now, basically, to keep it that smart. Secret. So there's no leaks. And that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do.
I absolutely love that was the case. I hate that they're on a press conference saying that.
Oh, you know, this is funny, Tom, because I was telling Scotty this as well. I'm usually with you in, like, you know, kayfabe's been dead for a long time. We talk about it on the podcast, these press conferences. It really worked with Hunter's press conference yesterday. Like, it really played well to be like, this is still a show. What they're doing, what AEW doesn't, where AEW kind of keeps in that vein of, like, kayfabe for these press conferences, they didn't, in a way where it's just like, everyone should be excited as a viewer. Here's what you guys should know. Wrestling is predetermined. We write storylines here at wrestling. It is entertainment. They are still leaning into the entertainment side of things, and him saying just like, it'll be very exciting for the fans to see what John Cena does in this role. And Cena was the only one keeping up the storyline part of it during the press conference. It was great. I like literally when his came in, I was like, nice, John's going to talk. Literally took the mic and just dropped it. I'm like, that's fucking brilliant.
So this is one of the things I am excited for this. We haven't had non-goofy Fruity Pebble John Cena for 22 years. What's his promos going to be like? Is he going to get new music and a Death Rebel? Death Rebel are going to kill
him? No, Cena's music still. John Cena sucks. You're leaning into the Cena sucks chance. Like, so your music doesn't change.
I don't know.
I'm saying no.
Does he go from jorts to full jeans? Like, does he just wear full pants now?
It was brought up with Rock part of the press conference. Yeah.
I can't.
No, he's wearing jorts. If anything, he's going to wear black jorts.
Well, he came out to the press conference in full-blown Cena garb, t-shirt, hat, jorts, the wristbands, everything.
I think he should wear wrestling gear.
That's what I want.
I think not a lot of change is happening in that regard. And in terms of the promos he's going to cut, the dude's been in Hollywood long enough. I sure as fuck hope you can act. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited for those promos. I want to see what he's going to do.
I want to see zero rapping. I don't want him to rap. That's what's going to get him over as a babyface. That's how that happened. I want him to be a full-blown arrogant prick.
I want to, one thing that's interesting, and I throw a lot of shit at Cody in our group chat, mainly just to rile up Scott.
It works, by the way. It works very well.
The heel turn last night has actually made me give a shit about Cody again. Because I had stopped caring. And now I'm like, and also, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we threw out on the podcast the possibility of Cody versus Cena at Mania. And two of us, maybe even you, I think it might have even been 3 out of 3. We were like, I don't really want that. Now I do. Like,
you've gotten me hooked with the story of that match. I think I said in the group text, I still think it'll be a bad wrestling match. But I'm hooked on
sometimes
the story.
That doesn't matter.
I know.
You know what? It's weird because sometimes that doesn't matter.
I know. Like, Hogan versus Rock isn't a great wrestling match, and it's still one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time.
It's incredible wrestling match.
So, you know, but like, I'm torn on that because I love to be entertained and sports entertained, but I also love guys going out there and killing themselves for the match, for the championship, for that main event spot. So that's a different story for another day. I think we're getting. What was that?
That's what Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are for.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
It was Tom's point to me. He's like, I care about Cody again. That's good. I could give two fucks about Cody still. Fuck Cody Rhodes. I care about is how fucking excited I am for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And not just that incredible heel turn that builds an incredible main event to cap off Mania. This night is very impressive for building great matches for a great fucking PLE that's coming up with WrestleMania. It was top to bottom. I was very excited for how the card is shaping up between both nights. So getting away from the big moment.
Yeah.
Because we're going to end up talking about that dick kick forever. The internet, you've all listening to the pod. There's no way you didn't see that incredible moment from Elimination Chamber. But the men's Elimination Chamber storytelling, I agree with Tom. I think it was a fantastic Elimination Chamber match. I thought everyone was pretty good, minus Damian Priest, because I still fucking hate Damian Priest. I just don't get it. I don't think I'll ever get it. I think Finn Balor's a fucking loser, but you get Damian Priest right back in the Judgment Day, add him to the loser squad again. Like, Jesus Christ. things that really built well. I know it's going to be Drew and Damian, obviously, at WrestleMania. That's fine.
I couldn't give a squirt of piss about that.
I feel bad for Drew McIntyre, if anyone. Yeah, hey, you're going to work Damian Priest. You're like, fuck. That guy's not very good, but okay. And also, it's just a good build of how it happened. Getting Drew out of there. Also, props to WWE camera crew in this era. The Claymore to Cena, because they don't show it in full frame where he just kind of comes out of nowhere. I fucking love that they're doing that. You know, where I'm just like, yes! Like, it gets me where I'm like, yeah! Like, those moments. But anger in McIntyre again, that heated Drew McIntyre that we love during that Punk stuff, really going to help. And they're really trying to propel Damian Priest as a babyface, so hopefully this is the rub he needs in this kind of spectacle. But I mean, it is a nice match, and hopefully they do some good work on the mic in the 50 days leading up to WrestleMania.
I don't think we've mentioned what you just did, but CM Punk deserves some props. I thought he was probably the best he's looked since he returned, in my opinion, last night at the Elimination.
Oh, in ring? Hell in a Cell was
amazing.
Hell in a Cell was the best Punk looks.
Hell in a Cell was a spectacle. Work wise, like actual wrestling and the way he was moving, I thought last night he looked fantastic.
I felt that way when him and Cena were getting their time together. I could have watched him and Cena at WrestleMania.
Oh man, that was awesome.
I could have saw that match at WrestleMania and I would have been stoked.
It was okay. Yeah. I
shut the fuck up.
I didn't like the Cena and Punk hugging and all that stuff. I was telling Mike earlier in the day that
could have done without that.
Yeah, Punk's whole thing lately is about getting to the main event of WrestleMania, and he's hugging John Cena in the chamber when that WrestleMania sign's hanging there. Even just like afterwards, do that. I didn't want it in the heat of the match. So that was a bit of a bummer for me. I thought it was not necessary at the time, but Punk was really, really good. Logan Paul just stopped doing
there.
Logan Paul needs to stop doing everything outside of pro wrestling and be a pro wrestler, because he is so damn good. He is a professional wrestler. I want him in the ring every week. But he did a really, really good job. He was there for a purpose. I don't know what his role is going to be at WrestleMania. I'm quite baffled by that. They're definitely planting seeds that it could be Punk and Logan, but I'm not too sure about that. But I thought
after Seth last night and the stomp that cost Punk, like that's locked in, which makes me fucking mad that they ever did that Raw match. I guess you have to have Seth be even more irritated
that's
with
gonna
Punk.
Be a triple threat. That's a triple threat, hands down.
Oh no, 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 no! I don't want that. I want Seth Punk one on one at WrestleMania.
Seth jumped on Roman's head. It's Seth and Roman and Punk.
Yeah, you're right. We talked about that too, Scott. Yeah, you're right, 100%.
Which, yeah. I mean, it'll be a fun match. I'll enjoy it.
Star studded, that's for sure. But Logan's the only one who didn't have the story rub. Sorry, Scotty.
No, I was just gonna say it's a spectacle. If you put those three guys in a match at Mania, but I do have one thing that they should add to that match. Make it a number one contenders match. Don't have it just for the sake of having the triple threat because of star studded. The winner of that gets the winner of Cody and Cena at whatever the next pay-per-view is. That's why those guys are there. They're all pissed off that they're not in the main event of WrestleMania. They want to get their comeuppance back on Seth, but they're all fighting for that championship. they don't have the opportunity now. I'd love to see it be a number one contenders match.
I just thought of something about Cody Cena that's going to have the ability to piss all of us off at the same time, which is going to be funny.
Go on.
John Cena trying to take a Cody cutter.
Ugh.
It'll piss off Scotty because he won't be able to take it very well. And it'll piss off me and Mike that the move even happened.
Yeah, that he's even doing it.
It'll double piss me off.
You nailed it.
Off.
You're right. I am pissed off.
It'll double piss me off because we'll hear Cena call it 30 seconds before. Hit the Cody cutter now. Yeah, hit it now. Fuck, I heard everything in that chamber last night. I heard everything, John. Come on now. If you can't lower your voice, grow some hair out to try to block some of that sound going out. But just brutal. A lot
of stones being thrown about the hair on this pod.
Not from me.
A lot of fucking stones being thrown. The only person who should be saying it is fucking me.
John, just shave it, buddy. Get it shaved.
He's going to Turkey to get that fucking hair replacement.
It's you not think he working. Would have done that by now.
Yeah.
Well, he can't now. He can't now. He's gotta ride it out. Heat of Mania season.
It's bad.
But getting back on track here, a great chamber match. Fucking really propelled some stories for WrestleMania. It's gonna be exciting that there is Scotty and I talk. There is no PLEs now. We are PLE-less until WrestleMania. So they're really gonna have to rely on television programming, which I fucking hate to watch. You guys know it. I can't stand watching 3 hours of any of that. So now I'm going to obviously be watching Monday Night Raw with you guys when it starts tomorrow because I don't want to miss the fallout after that moment.
Speaking of propelling storylines into WrestleMania, we saw the return of Jade Cargill.
Ooh, did we ever. Guys.
She's fantastic.
She looked the part. She played the part. And she laid the physicality, and I loved it. She really, really did. I started the show back up as we started the podcast, and I kind of watched out of the corner of my eyes. We started the show, and it was flawless. She came in there throwing haymakers, nice little swerve. We all thought she was going after Liv, but then she takes out Naomi. Kayfabe, brother. Looked awesome. Looked great. Bianca selling it where she can't get out of her pod in the chamber. As her partner beaten up, Bianca was
great.
It's
excellent.
I have to give a very honorable mention to Liv Morgan after that was done. When Liv was going up to Bianca saying, this is on you. This is your fault. You thought it was me. That's your girl. She did that. I didn't do it. She sold that so well.
I got to add to that too, because I thought Liv Morgan was fantastic when Jade was charging to the ring and she's like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Yeah. It wasn't me. I thought that was fantastic.
Liv Morgan was the MVP of that chamber match. That's the best I've ever seen her work. And
I'll agree. And oh my God, that hair whip from Bianca.
Oh yeah. People loved it.
Ow.
Violent. It's violent. Violent.
It's another great chamber match. I mean, I don't think it pushed outside of like, it's weird that you have Bianca win. When that storyline's so hot now with Jade returning and beating the shit out of Naomi. So that's why, like, felt weird to me. Like, I mean, I picked Liv, so fucking egg on my face. Not great for the booking standings, but I did just as good as Scott on this premium live event. So
don't like that. I was bullied into it, though.
I really think Roxanne Perez is going to do well on the main roster.
Yeah.
I really have a strong feeling that Roxanne Perez is going to really excel on the main roster.
Well, we don't sorry, Tom, just real quick. We don't have an old man that's going to go, well, she's too short. I'm not going to do anything with her. You've got Hunter there who brought her in to begin with a purpose, and now has brought her up because he has an idea and a plan for her, which Vince never did with NXT people unless they were Roman Reigns. But sorry, Tom, go on.
That leads quite nicely into what I was going to say, because I know a couple of times on the pod now, I haven't shit on her, but just said that she's not a great heel.
Mm-hmm.
I've never said anything negative at all about her in-ring work.
No.
And again, at the chamber last night, I think she was the best of the bunch. Everything she did looked fantastic.
I felt that way in the Rumble too. Like I really think it's been great outing after great outing. And I think Sean knew when it was time to move up to be like, she's going to work. Like, she's a great hand already. So let's see if we can't propel that on the main roster. And it's, again, it's kind of unfortunate because the way that the show ended and obviously the heat of how that show ended, you kind of forget about everything else.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, the women really, really did good work.
Yeah. And Alexa Bliss also looked very good in her first kind of, well, kind of match since she went back. She did well, and I love the Twisted Bliss finish, so I popped for that.
I did too. I texted it right away. Alexa Bliss is my favorite women's wrestler, possibly of all time. I think she's fantastic. Ooh, wow. Even though she's one of the smaller ones, I think they've always positioned her to be that scrappy underdog. The Fiend stuff with the spookiness, I kind of forget about that. I think she's fantastic. She played a role great last night. No ring rust that I saw. She had a one-on-one match to qualify to get into the chamber, and she was very, very good. I liked her and Roxanne squaring off. They're both on the smaller side, so I think they can give us a great wrestling match, and I would love to see that going on after Mania. I think it's going to be Roxanne versus Bayley at Mania. I think that's the plan, and I would love to see Roxanne go over.
Yeah, that's smart. Like, you're not my role model kind of shit. Like, yeah. Yep, that's good. It'll be interesting to see that.
Speaking of no ring rust, Trish Stratus looked great. That match was
whatever,
but Trish looked great. I like seeing the legends, so that was fun. I don't really have anything else to say about that match.
I don't either.
It was a match for the sake of a match. It didn't do anything for me. I'm glad she got her match at home in front of Toronto, in front of her kids. Got to be honest, I don't think the crowd gave a shit that much, which is kind of sad, but it was what it was.
Hard spot to be in.
Yeah, I also really like that Candice LeRae got a spot on a pay-per-view that wasn't the Rumble, because I've always wanted more for Candice LeRae. I think she's very good. But let's get into the non-sanctioned match, which is now this part of the show is not sanctioned as well while we talk about it. So anything goes.
Perfect.
you really want that with me and Mike?
You chose it.
I do so much. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. I hate the fact that this is kind of getting lost with what happened at the end of the show, because it's not being talked about very much.
Everything
today
on the fucking card outside of that moment.
I know. I hate it, though, because these guys killed each other, and I don't know if we've texted that much throughout a match in a very long time, because Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, Federation style, brought the house down with a great, great hardcore street fight, extreme rules type match. Unbelievable. The guys went all in. They threw it back to the Ring of Honor days.
I mean, we knew these two were going to deliver. They always do. Even without throwing shade at Sami Zayn, that was one of my favorite matches of the year.
You're getting soft with this. Fuck Sami Zayn. Fucking
I know whatever. We're only in February, but that was one of my favorite matches. It was fantastic.
It's the best wrestling match on the card.
Oh, yeah.
If you look back at the night, you're like, if you're talking about what happened in terms of work, no one outworked Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
No one.
Hey, and we saw barbed wire in a WWE ring for the first time in 20 years.
Yeah.
Wild.
You're going to build this to be what it is. And I hated the idea where it's fucking non-sanctioned. Like, Jesus Christ.
Just have a street fight.
And it's awesome, too. They bring in the ref with no. They're like, you notice he's not wearing his ref gear. But here comes a bunch of actual refs after. Like, there's the nitpicky part of me. But they made use of the space. So I didn't feel like it was too long outside of the ring. The double tables, like, or him eating the table spots, like, really cool. Great. The Sammy fucking push table spot.
Cool.
I was just like, God damn, no thanks. If I'm working, they're just like, you're doing this. I'm like, no, I don't do that.
I would have had a nitpick if Kevin Owens took that bump. Taken that so many times that in my head, it's the Kevin Owens bump. It's kind of like the ladder bump where he gets slammed on it. Like, it's the Kevin Owens bump. I'm real glad Sammy did it. The Blue Thunderbomb onto the barbed wire chair that's on the chairs. That was stiff.
Vicious.
Awesome. It was awesome.
My big one too is just like, I love good false finishes.
Yes.
And it sucks in these matches because your selling kind of goes outside the window, right? You're like, wow, you took a lot of damage to be able to just to do that and get up and get ready for the next spot. But it's okay. Like in this kind of clusterfuck, I'm expecting it to be a little more like indie in their approach.
Yeah.
Which I mean, which I felt it, and I felt it was, but it works. Like it really worked here. And it really came up to a big point with a returning Randy Orton. Which I think we all forgot. Like, I was just like, oh, yeah, like, this is the program. Like, I completely forgot where I was just like, this is what they were doing the whole time.
Well, it made me chuckle that I literally just text, what the hell happens at WrestleMania for the, and then Randy's music hit. And I was like, oh, there we go.
It was the vicious Randy Orton to go to the corner to tease the punt, which obviously we're going to get at WrestleMania now.
Big time. My nitpick with that was I hated that they waited so long for Randy to do the punt before all the security came in to grab him.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been way more impactful if you heard the chance for the punt. He goes to the back quarter and instantly comes back to do the punt, and then security comes in. It, to me, I'm like, the security's outside just waiting for him to start running to punt. Why didn't you jump in to block him before he even backed up? Why didn't you jump into before to put him down? I know it's a TV show, but I thought it would have been more impactful and realistic if Randy went back for the punt and then the security comes in as he's running instantly. But I wanted some blood in this match, guys. I'm not going to lie. We saw Kevin Owens take a face buster to the chair near the eye and the face, and no blood. Can give me a little bit.
See, I was initially annoyed about that until we had Cody wielding the blade at the end of the show. You don't want to take away from Cody's blood with more. I mean, GCW fan where there's blood in every match, but that's not WWE.
No,
you don't
I
want to take it.
I agree.
We don't see blood much anymore in WWE. So when we do, it should be a big deal.
Yeah, reason to have color. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, and
a barbed
the
wire chair to the face
where
is reason. A barbed wire
okay,
to the face,
okay.
Face
like,
is
get
reason.
It in like the more realistic term, but like, if he got all bloody, like got flare color because of that, I think it would have lessened the Cody beatdown.
Yeah, I can't
Cody would
because
have to
they get those guys killed each other in that match, but because they didn't bleed, you're like, okay, you're like, that was a great wrestling match, but like they got away. Commentary. This is my quick note before we get ready to wrap up. Bad start to that match.
Yes,
Michael Cole nailing it. To really sell, like, Sammy, just lay down. Like, that kind of stuff really helps the home audience. Like, it was definitely helping me watch through the match. I'm like, yeah, Sammy, just lay down. Also, quit your job. Fuck you.
The greatest seller in the industry right now.
Man, there's people on who will never come on the pod. It's like, Sammy Zayn is not coming.
Yeah,
Finn Balor is definitely not fucking coming.
I'll do one-on-one with Sammy. Tom and I can talk.
I'm sure you will.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be on OnlyFans.
Stroke my beard.
Who's saying that to who? Yeah,
they're both saying it.
We're saying it to each other's eyes. We're just gazing. Yeah. Any final words?
What's going in each other's eyes?
Any final words on the Elimination Chamber, guys?
Fantastic pay-per-view.
Yeah, Netflix. Anyone with Netflix, it's a great jumping on point. If you've been waiting to see what WWE is all about and you have that Netflix subscription, or if a friend told you to listen to our podcast, or you're just supporting us, it's now's the time to load up Netflix and watch last night's Elimination Chamber. This is really going to set you in gear. Usually I like to say, hey, you should have watched the Royal Rumble. That's really what's going to propel it. No, like I really think Elimination Chamber is a good jumping on point on the road to WrestleMania to get you ready.
Absolutely. Guys, this has been fun. We're going to start doing this after every pay-per-view. We need to get right after it after these pay-per-views. So expect more of that in the future this year as well. At In My House Pod is the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Blue Sky. Plus, you can hit us up on YouTube as well. Let us know what you thought of the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view and the giant heel turn of John Cena. Fellas, this is a fun one. We'll be back next week. For UK Tom, Monday Night Mike, I am Scotty Avila. This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do.